which is probably just as well, because on election day, you probably don't want to fucking hear about it.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it is a geeky boners episode. That's right. We're looking at what's got us rock hard in the midst of all this pandemic and election craziness.
We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Tim Wick.
Hello, I'm Tim Wick.
Hooray. And boy, do we have a trio of long, strong, throbbing erections here for you, because it's another Geeky Boners episode.
Hey, dick jokes. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
This is going to be someone's first episode, and they're going to get 30 seconds in and just stop.
I hope so. I hope this was someone's introduction to Geeks Without God.
They're like, how did they get over 430 episodes into this podcast? How did that happen?
Geeky Boners, for you, person who was just scandalized, is an episode where we talk about what's getting us rock hard in the world of geek. Usually it's our own personal bailiwick, what we are currently obsessing over and therefore getting hard about. Mm. Erections are non-binary in the world of Geeks Without God.
That's right. it's an erection of the mind.
It's an erection of the mind and maybe of the heart.
and maybe a physical erection,
and
too.
It could also be a physical erection.
It could be.
Don't kink shame me. All right. So without further ado, Tim.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to start with you. You go first. I want to know all about your boner. Describe the length, the girth, the particular color variations.
Okay. This is a very simple boner because it hasn't been growing for very long. but there is a new series out, new reality music series. And I have to preface this by saying that I find series like American Idol and America's Got Talent and The Voice super fucking boring. And don't watch them. But I Can See Your Voice was just started airing on some network. I don't know. I'm watching it on Hulu. And it turns out that a mutual friend of ours from the Minnesota Renaissance Festival was featured in episode 2. Given that we knew this individual who was involved in the show, we decided to give it a shot. And, you know, I was really ridiculously entertained by it. And it may be because I'm a singer and because it makes me feel smart. I don't know. What's the
premise?
Yeah, the basic premise is, all right, you've got a contestant who's trying to win $100,000. And the way they're trying to win $100,000 is they've got 6 people on the stage, and they are told that some number of those people can sing. You don't know how many, but it's at least one. And some number of those people really fucking can't.
Okay.
And you don't know what number that is, but it is also at least one.
Can't you hear them? Can't you hear them badly singing?
No. No. So there are these 6 people on the stage, and they go through a series of games in which the individual who's the contestant has to figure out which of them can sing and which of them cannot without them actually singing. So,
what?
Like 20 questions?
Let me explain.
Yeah. This is very confusing.
And also,
it's on Fox, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. It's on Fox.
So, I looked it up.
So, one of the things that you're told is that, the people who can sing are always telling the truth. The people who cannot sing can be lying about anything.
Okay.
And then they also have a series, a group of celebrity panelists, one of whom is usually a well-known singer whose job is to give advice. So the first thing that happens is they do a lip sync battle. And the really important thing, 3 people do it at a time. And they are either lip syncing to their own voice or to somebody else's voice. So if they are a good singer, they're lip syncing to their own voice. If they are a bad singer, they're lip syncing to somebody else's. So you watch them all lip sync, then you eliminate somebody. The idea is to eliminate a bad singer. And if they're bad singers, the part of the thing that entertains me and that I just appreciate from an entertainer and a performer standpoint is, whoever it is, whether they're a good singer or a bad singer, they get their moment to just belt out a song. And damn if the bad singers don't own how shitty they can sing. It's just, it warms your heart to know they're going out on national TV and they can't sing at all.
Yeah.
And they just lean into how badly they can sing. And I appreciate that. So you do two rounds of lip syncing, one with a group of three and another group of three. They try to eliminate somebody. If they can eliminate a bad singer, they get $10,000 in their bank. Then they do a deal where they are like, let's look at what's on their cell phone. And it's super dumb. And they like show a little video from their cell phone of the person talking about themselves and a couple of pictures of them. And you're supposed to try and figure out whether or not they actually can sing by looking at the stuff on the cell phone, none of which involves them singing.
So,
you know, like the friend of ours who was on the show, they actually picked him to look at what was on his cell phone. He's like, well, you know, I was raised in a musical household and there are pictures of him playing the piano and things like that, which, you know, could give you an indication. Oh, he's got a musical background, which if you know anything about singing, doesn't fucking mean you can sing.
Right, right. You're either good or you can't.
Yeah. But and then the last thing they have to do before there are three games. So the four games. The third game is they go into a recording booth and they sing, but their voice is super adjusted. It's like super high pitched chipmunk style singing. And then the last thing they do is they actually get 30 seconds to ask somebody questions. So this is the first time you've been able to actually hear their voice where it hasn't been altered in some way. But really what you should be trying to do is catch them in a lie. So anyway, the thing as a singer, it's like if you've sung enough, you can tell when somebody is lip syncing to their own voice and when they're not. So it was like within 5 minutes of watching the show, the first people did their lip syncing. I'm like, oh, well, they can sing. Oh, pff, right. They can't fucking sing.
Yeah.
And anyway, so what got me excited, what got my boner going was just being like, oh, I could totally game this. No problem. And figuring out the game theory of it that none of the contestants figured out, which is like, if you think somebody can sing, that's the person that you should send into the little voice booth thing. Because even when their voice is altered like a chipmunk, if they're supposed to be singing the same note and they can't do it two times in a row, they can't fucking sing.
Right, right.
It's just,
I suppose things like breath control would help. If you're watching someone sing to them, lip sync to themselves, you know where they're taking the breath versus where they're not, because they sang it before.
Well, and if you're changing notes and doing all those weird scales and shit like that, you know how you got to form that in your mouth. And you can tell some people are just kind of like holding their mouth open during that time. And the other people are like trying to move their mouth a little bit, but they don't really know where the breaks are. I don't know. It's only two episodes in, and we only watched it because there was a friend of ours on it. But it was entertaining enough. I'm going to keep on it.
Quick question. Are the people who can't sing allowed to tell the truth, or do they have to lie?
They can tell the truth, yes.
Oh, that's tricky.
So they can tell the truth or lie. So the friend in question that we have who they identify all of them by like their job or a hobby that they have.
What job did they give?
They were a server. Which indeed they are a server.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say that he signed a non-disclosure agreement, but the show's aired. So I'm not sure if I can say his name or not. But anyway,
do they name him on the show?
Yeah, they do. So I'm So his name's Ted Femright. I don't know why I'm trying to
I don't know why
like,
either.
Well, I don't know. It's like a spoiler because now, you know, I'm talking about it. It's like, well, I can tell you right now that
You haven't said whether or not he can sing.
I have not said whether or not he can sing.
So. And I know Ted, and I'm not sure, to be honest.
Yeah, that was weird. Like slapstick.
I've never heard him sing. I have no idea.
That was the big thing we were watching, and Alex, my eldest, was like, so, Dad, can he sing? I'm like, I don't know. I've never heard him sing.
And you'd think that working out at Renfest would mean that you probably can sing, but you'd be very wrong.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be very wrong. Yeah. A lot of people out there can't hold a tune at all. Yeah. So
and spoiler alert, I'm just I'm just going to throw it out there right now. So spoiler, if you want to skip, if you're going to go, oh, I'm going to go check out the show. Spoiler alert.
Skip ahead 30 seconds.
Yeah. Ted can't fucking sing.
I thought it would be that he can sing. So no. That's great.
So no. Well, great. That's awesome. That means he like got the part.
For himself.
For himself.
Yeah. For himself. And he made it all the way through. He was the final person standing.
That's great. So the contestant lost.
The contestant lost.
The contestant.
They bought great. In on his little video on his cell phone about like, I was dreams. Raised in music. And they're like, oh, he was raised in music. Of course he can sing. I'm like, that's not God. What that means. You don't even know.
Oh, my
know.
God. That's great. I'm so happy he ruined someone's hopes.
he did. He crushed their $100,000 dreams.
Right?
Do you think they get a chance to like practice the lip syncing stuff ahead of time?
I would think. I mean, I'm sure they do. And I mean, I know some people that are good enough performers that they can lip sync. So, I mean, it was really a case when we were watching it that was like, that person absolutely 100% can sing. They sang that. I can see the way they're forming the vowels and the consonants. They know what the fuck they're doing. That person, I'm not so sure. And, inevitably, if I wasn't so sure, they couldn't sing.
Have you watched The Masked Singer?
No, I have not.
My brother loves that show, and it seems like it's a very similar thing in that you're trying to guess a voice.
Yeah, they're trying to guess who the singer is behind the mask.
And it's someone famous.
Your brother likes celebrities up to and including sports people.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of the people on The Masked Singer have been sports players.
Yeah, you have to know a lot of
sports
celebrities.
Adjacent.
Yeah.
And like that... Guessing celebrities is not interesting to me because I'm so bad at actor names and I don't know anyone in sports unless they've
like
done something awful and got their name in the news, right?
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't be great at that either. But I don't know. Like I say, all singing competitions bore the shit out of me and I haven't got time for any of them. America's Got Talent is a little more interesting because it's about more than just singing, but since inevitably, it always boils down basically to just the fucking singers. I don't give a shit.
I auditioned for American Idol a long time ago. Like, I didn't make it past the very first round because I was in Chicago. So,
but this show I found entertaining. So it is my boner for this particular episode. I hope y'all
excellent.
Check
that's
it
a good
out.
Boner. That's a good boner, Tim. It's short though. It's only two episodes
There's
long.
Only a two episode boner. Yeah.
Gosh, that's a very Nick.
Yo.
Do you have a long boner, like maybe about something that's been running for like 12 omnibuses or something?
I have a 16-year boner, which sounds illegal, actually.
That does sound bad. I don't want that in the house.
So my 16-year boner was way harder than it is now. But anyway.
Oh, boy. In anticipation for the animated adaptation to Amazon Prime, I just finished rereading Robert Kirkman's comic Invincible, which ran from, like, I want to say, like 2003 to 2018 or so. And it's 12 omnibuses or 12 like
hardcovers. So they're big.
They're pretty beefy.
They're oversized.
And it ran, very regularly. And he was writing that and Walking Dead overlapped for quite a bit of time, both for Image Comics. In contrast to The Walking Dead, Invincible is, superheroes and magic and bright colors and but something it has in common with The Walking Dead is it is gory and violent,
especially considering it's like a high school kid.
The premise of Invincible is I when I describe it to people, I say it's like Spider-Man but also like Superman. It's like a combination of those two. A kid's father is basically Superman. He's a hero called Omni-Man, who's a member of a group that is basically the Justice League, right? They're not subtle about it. And in the very beginning of the comic, the teenage son, Mark, develops his powers. So he starts getting his powers for the first time. He's taking out the trash, throwing the trash bag into the bin, and accidentally hucks it like out of the fucking city, into space or whatever. And so at the beginning, he's just a kid with like Superman's same type of powers, but not as powerful. No heat vision, no super hearing, just invincible almost, as his name would imply. And then incredibly strong, and he can fly. Very early into the story, there is a very dramatic twist. And I feel like the comic has been out for 13 years. So I'm going to say
that. Here's your spoiler. Jog it ahead 30 seconds.
Just skip ahead 30 seconds or so, or whatever. But Mark's father is an alien from a race of conquerors who has been sent to Earth to prepare them to be conquered. And he's been masquerading as a hero. Mm. And in the first issue or so, he murders everyone in the Justice League. His son catches him and confronts him, and he beats his son into a fucking coma and leaves the world. And Jesus. Everyone sees it because someone has their cell phone out.
Jesus. Wow.
So that's the setup to the comic. Is his dad is gone, and he has this legacy of his father, the greatest hero on Earth, his father, the greatest murderer on Earth.
Does everyone know that's his father?
And it gets figured out real early. And so he starts out on a team of teen heroes, and eventually those teens kind of age and grow, and you know, there are relationships, there's heartbreak, there's death, there's new family. Mm-hmm. And an expansion of the Marcus family and all that. But it's, you know, it's a long run of comics. There's a lot that happens. And the ending, so I never finished the last two hardcovers when I was first reading it. I read 1 through 10. I bought 11 and 12. They sat in shrink wrap on my shelf for years. I broke the seals on them to read them. So I reread 1 through 10 and read 11 and 12 in preparation for the series, which is coming out, I think, early next year, 2021.
Animated series.
The cast is fucking amazing. They just released a couple of clips from it coming out, but they did a little bit of a change for the casting. So in the comics, Mark's mom and Omni-Man are all like pretty clearly Caucasian. Right. Mm-hmm. So in the
standard issue, white folks.
Yeah. In the animated series, Omni-Man, the father, is J.K. Simmons. Mm. And the mom, Debbie, is Sandra Oh.
Oh, nice.
So Mark is going to be voiced by Steven Yeun, who is from The Walking Dead show. And so Mark will have Asian heritage.
That's great.
His mom is Asian, and that's dope. But then, like, the crazy CIA kind of superhero liaison, the Nick Fury, is Mark Hamill.
Oh, nice.
And the reoccurring alien rival / buddy is Seth Rogen. And it's a great role for him.
That's exciting.
Jillian Jacobs is the, like, teenage love interest superhero.
She's Britta, right?
Britta. Yep. But like Zazie Beetz. There's just a ton of really great people in the show. I'm really looking forward to it. And the fact that they are casting certain people in it make me think like, oh shit, that means they're gonna do this. Mm-hmm. They cast this person. Holy fuck, they're going to do this storyline that like is maybe kind of improbable a bit, but they're going ahead and doing it. There's these villains called the Mahler twins, who are these big blue hulking science geniuses, and they are clones of one another, and they don't know which is the original and which is the clone. Huh. And it's a point of contention.
Sure.
For them in their scientific pursuits, but I'm very, very excited for the show. The comic is definitely worth your time reading.
Cool.
And it's all done and complete. So if you want like a really long, enjoyable superhero comic that doesn't have like the baggage of a DC or Marvel continuity. I think that's one of the things that I really like about it, is that it's fun, enjoyable superhero comics where they can kill people off because they're not franchises, they're characters. And so as people come and go, it's not like, well, we can't kill Wolverine. He sells comics. Who are we going to put on the cover? You know, well, don't worry. He'll be back in 6 months.
Right, right.
Though it is a superhero comic, so sometimes people die or disappear and they come back.
Sure.
Yeah.
So is the whole, you know, aliens coming to take over Earth thing, is that like just gone, or does that come back?
It's a part of the plot throughout the entire comic.
Yeah, you'd think.
It is resolved to various degrees as the story progresses, but never fully resolved until a certain point.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's great. I highly recommend the comic, and when the show comes out on Amazon, we'll be watching.
Yes, 100%.
Sounds great.
That was a good boner. That was a good boner.
It's a lengthy one.
It was long,
And it's a violent boner.
It's a violent,
long and violent.
But Molly, what's your boner?
So I had shoulder surgery a little under 2 weeks ago, and I am in I'm in a sling. Hello.
Oh yeah.
So I'm just one handed all this time, but so that usually means no video.
You only need one hand for a boner.
That's what I hear. But yeah. I used to. But the thing is, the Switch has Joy-Cons, which are separate, and you can play with them. So I'm able to put one Joy-Con in my sling hand and the other Joy-Con in my regular hand, and I can play Switch games.
Right.
Which is pretty dope. So my boner is, I know a lot of people, Animal Crossing was a big deal when it first came out. A lot of people played it all the time. I also know, based on looking at my friends' logins on the Switch, that a lot of people stopped playing Animal Crossing a couple months ago, and, you know, or even longer, and don't really play anymore. Let me tell you guys, it's worth it to come back. Don't worry about what you missed in the between. Don't worry about it. It's all there. All the summer, you know, it's all still there, whatever. Just start it on up. All your animals will be fine. The first thing they'll say to you is like, oh my gosh, it's been like, you know, 3 months since we've talked. Oh, I'm so upset. They're not upset. They don't care. It's fine. Let me tell you, it's worth it, because Halloween in Animal Crossing is fucking awesome. So, every day in Nook Shop, there is a single piece of candy available for purchase, per person, obviously. You get your one piece of candy. On Halloween, the candy is going to be used for something. Rumor is you'll be able to trade it to animals for any of the spooky DIYs you don't have.
Wow.
And some other stuff. You can grow pumpkins. So you buy pumpkin sprouts and you dig dirt and you grow pumpkins, and they are a harvest just like any farming game. And then you use those to craft spooky recipes. Really cool stuff.
You show me the pumpkins, and you just get pumpkin seeds, but they grow in different colors?
There's four different colors, yeah. Orange, which you're going to get the most of, because you need orange to build anything. And then green, white, and yellow, which you can use to customize the stuff you build to have a different color, and sometimes a different face. Like the jack-o'-lanterns all have different expressions, depending on what color you put them in. And like the when you build the spooky arch, you know, the different banners and the bats are in different positions and really cool stuff. Almost everything lights up at night. So if you put a bunch of the spooky decor around, and then at nighttime everything's all lit up and haunted looking, it's really cool. There's a lot of new costume stuff. You can buy two new packs for skin and eye color in the Nooks to customize your character. So you can have blue, green, pale white, different color skin. You can have like red eyes, yellow eyes, like black eyes, all these different cool things. So you can make different costumes and make different cool accoutrements to go with it. It's really fun. I love Halloween. I don't know what the day will look like. Historically, Halloween Day, it's been called Candy Day or whatever in different Animal Crossing variations. And it's super fun. Usually involves like, you know, different, like the animals will dress up and they want you to know what they are and everything. So if there's ever a time to pick it up and play it here and there, now is the time. And then I would say definitely do it again in December, because they always do Toy Day or Jingle. Jingle the reindeer who dresses in a Santa outfit. They do a very secular Christmas, on Xmas, if you will. That's very fun. So I've been having a lot of fun with that. I've also been having a lot of fun playing a game called Spiritfarer, which is available on Xbox for free with Games Pass, or on the Switch for $30. And that's a game that's really fun for me as an atheist. It's a resource management game about the afterlife and death. Like, you basically, the opening scene is you accepting your duties from Charon, the ferryman on the River Styx, who's like, okay, cool, I'm so glad you're here to help me out. Basically, you just help these souls and they figure out what they need, and then you help them move on and you earn points, and it's all very easy. So it's a very learn as you go game, and I haven't gotten very far, but it seems like a really calm, like, easygoing game. There's like fishing, and you're taking a boat places, you have a deer for a friend, you know, you're building your boat, you know, on the River Styx, and eventually you're going to be helping souls pass to the afterlife and be comforted by the fact that they are now moving on from death to the next. And it's I don't know, I think it's pretty cool.
I heard someone describe it as it's the resource management game where the resource is relationships. So it's, yeah, like a relationship management game.
Yep, you want to say nice things to people and cook them comforting food and on their journey and stuff like that. Yeah, it's really cool. So I guess Animal Crossing is the bulk of my boner, with the Spiritfarer as the balls. Like, sure, it's all together. It's a very complete boner for playing video games.
The total package.
Yes. Yeah.
I have never stopped playing Animal Crossing, but I do pretty much just do a quick check-in every day and find my rock with money in it and dig up my dinosaur fossils. And
have you been doing the Halloween stuff?
Yes, I have been doing the Halloween stuff. I've only got two colors of pumpkin. I only have orange and green, so I made a pretty small pumpkin patch. I'm probably going to need to expand my pumpkin patch.
I would also, like, what I've been doing is I built a really big pumpkin patch, but then I started digging up orange. After I would pull the pumpkins, I would just dig them up plant new sprouts,
sure,
and then sell those old sprouts just to, you know, because now I've got new chances of getting a different color.
Yeah.
But really, it's just for customization. So it's.
Do they grow like flowers? Can you breed them? Do they?
I don't think so. No.
Do they grow again after you pick the pumpkin?
Yep. They'll grow in perpetuity.
Oh, okay.
Near as I can tell. They'll grow forever.
Yeah, you can keep growing pumpkins all fucking year long if you want to.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll stop growing after October.
But like, if you plant a pumpkin and then it grows and you pluck the pumpkin off it, it grows again.
Yep, it goes back.
Cool.
Yep. So, it's really fun. I really think that, I don't know, I really think that Animal Crossing is, I know a lot of people played it like a Blitz game where you try to complete it. Nick's laughing because he's one of those people. But I know a lot of people did. Like, that's how a lot of people approach it. But really, it's a lifestyle, long-term investment game where you are never going to be able to get everything the very first month, unless that's all you're doing is playing Animal Crossing, and you're not working or doing other things.
How I play Animal Crossing is I'll play like pretty hardcore for a month or two or a couple of weeks, and then I'll stop, and then I'll come back to it and be like all about it.
Yep. So I just think it's they really do reward you all year long with updates and new stuff. So, you know, if you don't subscribe to the Nintendo newsletter, I recommend following the Animal Crossing account on Twitter. If you're a Twitter person, or on Reddit, there's good communities where they talk about it, just so that you're up to date, so you know what you're choosing to miss, and so you're not like, oh man, I would have totally played that if I had known about it. Like, that would have been so cool. So I know a lot of people feel anxious about going back to a game that they have ignored for so long that has continued without them. Again, I reassure you, everything is fine. Consider it funny. Your animals are going to think it's funny. There were iterations of the game where your house was full of bugs and no one wanted to talk to you if you had left it this long. They took all that out.
It's neat to go back, if for no other reason than to experience another aspect of the game that they took the time to program and make and all that. Because, you know, if you just plow through and keep playing, you'll never get to see that part of the game.
Absolutely. Long-term longevity, this is what you're buying into. It's an investment.
There's considerable revisit quality to Animal Crossing.
It's true. Those were all very good boners. They were geeky. They were good size. They had a breadth of interests. We went to comics and games and television. So,
right.
Yeah.
We did a great job.
a bouquet assortment.
I think we can stop jerking each other off, though.
Virtual fist bumps.
Yes, first fist bumps.
Virtual
fisting. It's time for five questions.
Five questions.
And we have five questions from Patreon Cole. Cole's awesome. She always sends us in great questions. So she says, happy Halloween, geeks. Hey. Halloween is my favorite holiday, and it's been on my mind a lot lately. So I'm asking you five Halloween-themed questions.
Yay.
Okay. So she also answered her own question. So I will read the question, and then I'll read Cole's answer, which should give you guys some time to think of your answers.
Okay.
Question one. What has been your favorite costume you've worn? This can be for a fest, Halloween, or to a con. I think my favorite was the year I went to a con dressed as Wash from Firefly. It was incredibly comfortable. I had lots of pockets for storing things, and I made dinosaur earrings to go with it. That is adorable. That sounds very cute. Anyone have an answer yet?
I think so. I have a lot of costumes from conventions and from other things, but I think my favorite costume for me is when I was a kid. My mom and dad, we were dirt fucking poor. My mom and dad made me a Batman costume from scratch. It's actually on the Geeks Without God website. If you look at the About Nick portion, there's a picture of me in my homemade Batman costume that my parents made for me.
It's a sweet costume.
It's pretty dope if you're a little kid in the 80s or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my favorite as a kid was that my mom made me and my brother Ninja Turtle costumes. We wore green sweatshirt, sweatpants, pairings, and the cool. And then we had our little masks. But the cool thing was she made us shells. She made a big like cast, basically like a big like big bowls. But she had this huge mixing bowl, and she laid. She dipped like paper mache mix with cheesecloth and made this big shell and then spray painted it like shell colors and then had a strap. So they were lightweight and we wore them just around our, like around our shoulders and around our waist. And we had we were the only Ninja Turtles who actually had shells. Nice. And it was super cool. As an adult, my favorite costume is Carrie. I love doing a Carrie costume. It's a good costume and it shocks the shit out of people. Like it's just really fun to be having an animated, funny conversation with someone while other people are just staring at you because you are covered in blood. like I get like two of the huge pints of fake blood and just pour them over myself in the backyard.
And I'll be there with a blow dryer.
And then
like
Nick
blow
dries me, so it's all dried. And then the shower afterward is amazing. It's so gross. It's so gross.
it's like the shower scene from Psycho, only in color. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Tim, okay. What about you?
And I've never been a big cosplay person, mm-hmm. which is unfortunate. It's just like not something that it's too much work.
You do Halloween? Did you ever do Halloween with the kids?
I did. And I guess kind of one of my favorites was there was one year where Alex had just read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So we both went as Arthur Dent. And that was my favorite because it was super simple. We just both wore a bathrobe and carried a towel. And that was it. And it was
did
just
you have
like
to tell every house who he was?
No, not every house. That was the best part.
Good.
It was like
that's
every
good.
Now and again, they'd be like, you're Arthur Dent, aren't you? He's like, yes. And he was so excited. He was excited that like five houses out of the 50 we went to knew who he was. And that was
my
that
little
was
brother, Riley, used to invent characters and draw them. And then he would make a costume that would be like pretty perfect to the character. But he would come home crying because no one knew who he was when it was clear that he was Dr. Murder, the butcher doctor.
Magician,
the serial killer. His name is Magician. He's not a magician. He's a serial killer.
Right.
Like he would be so upset. Like it was very funny.
Yes. Well, okay. Alex was more proud that he was wearing something almost nobody would get.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
excited when they did get it. So
that's the dream.
Yeah.
Question two. What has been your least favorite costume? Hmm. Maybe something super last minute that you weren't happy with because it wasn't finished or whatever. I was seven. It was 1991. You know the year. I was Rapunzel. My mom made the dress and it was adorable. The problem was the floor length yarn braid wig she made to go with it. It must have weighed more than me by the time I got home from trick-or-treating because of all the snow that got packed into it. Non-Minnesotans should know that 1991, we had a blizzard on Halloween night that dropped 2 feet of snow by like 8 p.m. And trick-or-treating was miserable.
It was a rough time. Anyone who was alive then knows what's up.
Yeah, I was a fortune teller in snow pants that year. Is this your answer? Or is this
My answer is that same year.
Okay.
Oh, great. Yeah.
So
wow.
91, I was 10. I was a super nerd then, and I had been reading a lot of Lord of the Rings at that age, and I. Not realizing that, you know, I should just go with it and be a dwarf or something, was like, no, I'm going to make an elf costume. And I had boot covers that looked like elf shoes and like ear tips and all that. And of course, it was all covered under winter gear. I couldn't wear the shoe covers because the snow was so deep. I tried anyway, and I think they got ruined. And on top of that, it was just like, come on, fat kid, maybe the elf isn't the best choice for you as a kid. Like, maybe you could, I don't know, be a hobbit or a dwarf or a human or anything else. But yeah.
Yeah. Tim, what about you?
Okay, so my first year of the Renaissance Festival, I was playing a character called Bits and Pieces, and my clever idea was that I had multiple personality disorders, so I was trying to play seven characters, which was dumb. It was super dumb. And what I did was I put together this costume made out of scraps of fabric. So the idea is, you know, the fractured personality, different.
Sure.
But all of this fabric was not compatible, so you can't sew it together very easily. Some of it was really thick, some of it was really thin. And that year, the two things that were super important, it was the rainiest year that has ever been at the Minnesota 85? Renaissance Festival. Yeah, that was 1985. Rainiest year it's ever been at the Renaissance Festival. It rained every day. Some days for 5 minutes, some days all day.
Oh my God.
Also the coldest year we'd ever had at the Renaissance Festival. It snowed on the final weekend, and I was not wearing clothing that was made to be worn outside in the snow.
Like nips and pieces.
Yeah, it was super, super unpleasant. I do not have any pieces of that costume left. They are all gone. I got rid of them and never looked back. And it has been, it's like, I tell that story when I like talk to people at Academy just to kind of go, A, the character was stupid, but B, if you don't make a costume that will keep you cool when it's hot and warm when it's cold, then you have failed Renaissance 101.
Yeah,
that is the first thing you have to figure out before you do anything else. So I learned a lot, but I nearly died.
Oh my gosh.
From hypothermia. So
oh my gosh.
Don't do
so
that.
So my least favorite was, it was a con costume. I went as Betty from Rat Queens. And I was a very good Betty from Rat Queens.
Perfect.
Except that no one knew who the fuck Betty from Rat Queens was. And so everyone thought I was a hobbit. And I've never read Lord of the Rings. So I had people shouting hobbit-related shit at me all day. And if I asked a question at a panel, it was, oh yes, the Hobbit. And it's like, God damn it. Like, and Betty is like the opposite of a Hobbit. Well, she's like a little halfling.
A smidgen.
So they are like, you know, Kenders or Hobbits or whatever. They're small people, but she is a drug abusing, booze abusing, sex addict, like, just amazing, hilarious character. Yeah. So like it felt,
she's the thief of the party.
Yeah. And so I was very frustrated to have that. Like, I felt like my costume must not be right, or like I didn't do, and it was kind of a last minute threw it together kind of thing. So, I mean, I think I did it the weekend before con, if I remember.
It was good though.
That's the one. And then I think it's a tie between that and my also very good Katniss Everdeen costume. Lara Croft costume that everyone kept thinking I was Katniss Everdeen. So everyone was like, Katniss, Katniss. And be like, I'm fucking Lara Croft. She doesn't have big tits in the game. Like the new game. God damn it. And
like, well, so it's like Katniss never used a bow made out of.
Like it was, and like Nick made my bow and it was like perfect. And I like the clothes were exactly what she wears in the new Tomb Raider game. And I'd like distress them and I cut them in just the right spots. And I had this big, awful brunette wig that was just like making me so hot. And so like, I was a little crabby from the wig, like Cole. And then to have people shouting the wrong thing at me was just like, I just wanted to like give the finger to everybody. It was just really rude.
So it's kind of like, you know, a zombie apocalypse thing. The zombies aren't really the problem. It's the other people.
Exactly.
The costume wasn't the problem. Yeah. It was everybody's response to it that was the problem.
Yeah, exactly. Like the zombie pub crawl. It's the people. Yeah. Okay. Question 3. What is your favorite Halloween themed song? I worked at a spirit store for many, many years. The two songs that always make me think of the good times there are Re Your Brains by Jonathan Colton and Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell.
Mm. Those are good songs.
I wouldn't have thought of either of those as Halloween themed. So I love the Monster Mash. I fucking love the Monster Mash. I wrote...
the dance or the song?
Both, actually. Okay. I don't know the song. I only know the dance and then the Transylvania Twist, which then became the Mash, became the Monster Mash. I love it so much, I wrote a radio play for Big Fun Radio Fun Time about the Monster Mash that I thought was super funny. And like, I've loved it ever since I was a kid, particularly because like, it is a song about a song. It is not the song, which I find amazing. And I always thought that was really funny when I was a kid.
And the song doesn't exist.
Yeah, and we always listened to it. We listened to the Oldies Channel pretty exclusively when I was a kid. So that was one of the songs that we could hear that I liked. So my answer, the Monster Mash, classic.
Tim, do you have an answer?
Yeah, Tim?
Yeah, mine actually, for all these questions that are difficult for me, this is super easy. It's Dead Man's Party by Oingo Boingo.
Oh, I love that song.
Which is one of my favorite fucking songs of any time, but clearly, as far as I'm concerned, the greatest Halloween-themed song ever. Yeah, even though, I mean, it's technically a Day of the Dead song, but nonetheless, great fucking song.
Yeah.
So my song is better than both of yours, if you know the reason that it has Vincent Price, because Thriller is the best Halloween song.
Thriller is a great song.
See, I was too scared of Thriller as a little kid. Like, I was scared enough of Vincent. It's just Vincent Price. His voice scared the shit out of me when I was little. So, like, I still get enough of a dread from hearing his voice in that song that's, like, I feel kind of like.
Yeah.
You love Thriller?
Thriller's a great song. It's Thriller
is a great song.
Michael Jackson, terrible person, incredibly good entertainer.
Yeah, and that dance.
Yeah.
Iconic.
Super iconic.
All you have to do is the hands. Everyone knows what you're doing.
The good news about Oingo Boingo, I'm going to point out, Danny Elfman, so far as we know, not a terrible person. So,
except for that he keeps working with Tim Burton.
That's fair. Yeah.
He gets hired by terrible people.
I believe song was written by Igor, who was working in the lab late one night and goes on to describe a series of events that occurred.
I think you're right. And Igor is not necessarily a terrible person. He's just doing a job.
He stole brains. I mean, yeah. I think
he's a grave robber.
So what? They're dead. Who cares?
Yeah, he's just eco, you know, like reuse.
He's recycling. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Question 4. What is a costume you have always wanted to do, but haven't had the time or money to pull off yet? Mine is one that I've been planning forever. I want to make I want to make a Gurr costume. I would have a full silver bodysuit underneath the green Gurr dog suit so I could transform from robot Gurr to dog Gurr. Ideally, I'd also like to have a robot mask that changes the eyes from red to blue.
Oh, yeah.
That would be dope.
I know mine. I've had this for quite a while. My dream costume that I would never... The quality of the costume I want is not something I'm capable of making, so I would need someone to, like, out of the goodness of their heart, spend thousands of dollars on a costume for me, because I'm not going to do it. But I want so badly... A Prince Voltan from Flash Gordon movie where the Brian Blessed character.
Oh.
Mm.
I
can see that.
What would you need? Like, what does it take?
It's a golden armor with wings and a mace and like boots and not a lot covering the legs and yeah. And yeah, I mean,
like Zardoz style, or is it more of a bot, like a swimsuit?
It's more like armor.
Okay, but with no legs.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm built for the costume.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you are. That's perfect.
Like right. Yeah. Like that's a costume made for me to
wear. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Not made by me.
Okay. Yeah. That would be great. I've always really wanted to do. So there's a character in Saga called the Stalk.
Oh boy.
Who is a spider type sort of thing, sort of, but it's like it's basically I'm built for it in the sense that I have an athletic. She doesn't have arms,
right?
And she has like a smooth chest and torso, and she's got like a bunch of eyes. It would require a whole lot of things.
She has boob shapes, but no nipples.
Yeah. So there would be a lot of. I mean, it would be like a full body like masquerade, maybe not hall costume kind of a thing. But like
most of the time, the spider body is covered by like a dress.
So a huge dress, yeah.
It's like a spider centaur, but without the human arms.
Yeah. And I've wanted to do that, or the Prince Robot from the same comic who has a big TV for a head. Mm. But I just can't figure out how to fabricate that. That would look like normal and good and also be something I could wear without wanting to die after an hour, right? And you couldn't see my face, so I need to be able to see through it, but you couldn't see in. There's a lot of technical issues with it.
Yeah.
But those are the two I've always wanted to do. What about you? Yeah, Tim.
Boy, I'm having a lot of trouble because as a cosplayer, as somebody who doesn't do a lot of cosplay, it's like nothing really kind of makes me go, ooh, I really want to wear that. I just kind of end up wearing costumes for sketches or whatever. There was a we wrote a Dr. Seuss sketch for Convergence one year, and the villain of it was a mashup of Dr. Seuss and James Bond, and the villain was Dr. Seuss, and actually the costume was made for Christopher Jones, and it was this delightful fuzzy vest with a big tall hat. I think I'd like my own Dr. Seuss costume,
sure,
because that was pretty fucking great.
Yeah,
I'd like that.
It's basically just like dress you like a raver, right?
Yeah,
like,
basically.
Yeah. We can do
was
that.
Was it Dr. Seuss was like Dr. No?
Yeah, except
that's
except
great.
He only spoke in rhymes. Except
of course.
He refused to speak in rhymes. Every couplet he had was not rhyme. So he'd be like, "Here's some trouble I've created for you. I call them thing number one and thing the second."
sure, got it.
Everybody else in the sketch spoke in rhyme, and he would not. Anyway.
All right. I like that. I could see Dr. Seuss raver Tim. I think we can make this happen for the Halloween party.
Get some glow sticks.
All right. Question five. Is The Nightmare Before Christmas a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie? Please answer before reading my answer.
Yes.
Halloween.
You say it's both.
I say it's both.
You say Halloween.
I
say Halloween.
It's... Yeah. I mean, I understand the argument for a Christmas movie, but it's a Halloween movie.
I also say Halloween.
It's set in Halloween Town. I still say yes.
Cole says my answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Both, always. I will watch that movie all year long. I hope you have a safe and spooky Halloween. Love from Cole.
Hey. Thanks, Cole.
That's awesome. If you wanted to write us five questions, they do not need to be themed, or they can be themed however you want. Send them in to 5questions@geeksofthatgod.com. We also, Cole is a patron. That means that she donates monthly to our show because she wants to support what we do. And if you want to do that, you can go to patreon.com and look for Geeks Without God. And if you send us money, any amount of money, you get to listen to these episodes as soon as we record them. Yeah. So for example, tonight we're recording two, and right away they'll be available, you know, pretty much right away to
whenever I get to them.
Yeah, to our patrons. And then some at a $2 or more level, right? You get to see the videos.
Yep.
And we are recording video right now. So if you wanted to watch us and see our blank-eyed stares as we listen to other people talk, you can definitely check that out. Otherwise, you can follow us on all the social medias, listen to us on Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, all the goodness.
iHeartRadio.
We'll be here every Tuesday. Yeah, we're really happy that you guys keep listening to us. It means a lot. This show just keeps on chugging, and you guys chug with us. Chug those boners, everybody. Bye!
What just happened? Bye. Goodbye. I want to be clear, though. I can see your voice is pretty much complete trash.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Chug the boners, chug the boners.